Module 12, Two-Year Plans. I believe this is probably the most important module of the whole Success Accelerated program. Mapping out a structured two-year plan gives you a framework from which you can make decisions. This is why many years ago I wrote the Peg in the Sand Journal. Because unless you know what you want, how do you know if the decisions you make will take you closer to your desired outcome or further away? If at this point you haven't yet completed the Peg in the Sand Journal, I highly recommend that you pause and spend some time working through this journal. I know for a fact the students that spend the time completing their Peg in the Sand Journal are the ones that succeed and achieve massive results. Once this journal is completed, you will have the big picture of where you want your life to go in some type of orderly fashion. This journal helps you break down your big goals into smaller sequential goals that you can achieve on a week by week, month by month, and ultimately year by year basis. From a goal setting perspective, there are a number of key elements that make the process a reality. And before getting into the nitty gritty of creating a 2-year plan, I'd like to discuss some of those elements first. Clarity. The more clarity you have in what you want to achieve, the easier it is to put systems and processes into place to achieve your desired outcomes. When you just have a fuzzy idea of how you want things to turn out, your actions, opportunities, and interactions will also be fuzzy and not directly focused on what you really want. The clearer your picture is, the clearer the plan to get there will be. This process goes right down to the most minute details you can possibly imagine. The more detail you have around your goals, the easier it is for you to make decisions and take actions to achieve that outcome. Emotional connection. To fully understand how important it is to create an emotional connection with your goals, it helps to understand our biological heritage. We might think our conscious brain controls who we are and what we do. In fact, this couldn't be further from the truth. Most of our actions, bodily functions, and decisions are actually made from our subconscious or unconscious. Our unconscious anatomy is what controls all survival functions, for example, breathing, heartbeat, digestion, but also more crucial functions, such as our automatic response systems. Our subconscious does not speak words. Our subconscious speaks feelings and emotions. This might be the point at which the boys and the logical left brain people start to tune off, but I encourage you to persist, because when you link emotion to goals, particularly logistical outcome goals, you bring together both your conscious and subconscious to work together to achieve the desired outcome. The stronger the emotional connection you can make, the quicker the outcome seems to happen. There have been many scientific studies done on emotional connection, and I encourage you to explore this area further. When you can effectively combine all sensory stimuli, visual, auditory, tactile, smell, taste, then the emotional connection to your goal becomes as important as breathing. It becomes the dominant driving force behind your actions, thoughts, and perceptions. Until you can actually see yourself having achieved a certain goal or living a certain lifestyle, you won't achieve it. You actually have to make the emotional connection between you and your desired outcome. Otherwise, at a subconscious level, you simply don't believe you will ever achieve it. I particularly like this picture at the right, as it represents the functionality of your conscious and unconscious brain. Only around 10% of our brain is operating consciously. The other 90% works at an unconscious level. And remember, the unconscious is driven by emotion. So your IQ is your conscious intelligence, whereas your EQ is your emotional intelligence. Methodology. There are numerous methods which can be employed to give clarity and emotional connection to your goals. Some people like to free write, which is the process of writing any random idea that comes into your head. Whilst I have done this free writing process on previous occasions, I don't find it is the most effective for me. That's not to say that it won't work for you, but for me, my hand simply can't keep up with my head, and I find the process a little tiresome. Once you have exhausted your free writing brainstorming session, it can be quite enlightening to go back and read over what you've written. Rereading what you've just written further cements the concepts and ideas into your subconscious mind. However, what is really exciting is when you reread what you've written some months or even years later. it is often quite astounding how much of what you have written is now reality. Some of you may know I have a little bit of a notebook fetish, and I like to write down my goals and dreams and the aspirations in neat little notebooks with nice paper. Well, I was cleaning out my bookcase the other day and I found about 10 or 20 of my old notebooks from over 10 years ago. Well, there went the afternoon, because for the next few hours I was completely enthralled by reading over what I had written many years ago and was both encouraged and humbled by what I had written and how much of it was now commonplace in my life. Spooky, isn't it? On a similar note, some people like to use free drawing. It's just like free writing, except you draw what you want to have in your future. For those who are artistically minded, this process can work well. In the past, drawing has been a beneficial tool for me. I remember a few years ago, I pulled out an old sketchbook, and on flipping through the pages, I noticed a drawing of a house. Not surprisingly, it is the house that I now live in, even down to the circular driveway, the water feature, and the surrounding trees and landscape. This drawing was done some 5 years before I actually created, manifested, and built the house we now live in. This has been an occurrence that has repeated many times throughout my lifetime. A variation of the free drawing is doing a vision board. These days with technology, it is easy to find the visual pictures of the things that you want to incorporate in your future, whether that be a fit body, healthy lifestyle, a yacht, a Lamborghini, or a dream house. You can find a picture of it on the internet. By collating these pictures together into one spot and saving them as a dream board or vision board, you are emotionally connecting with the visual representation of how you want your life to be and what material things you would like to have in your life. All this is good and useful to your desired outcome. I make all my Platinum members do both a 1-year vision board and a 5-year vision board. The 5-year vision board is easy for most people and they allow themselves the comfort of putting whatever they ever desired on the vision board. A 1-year vision board is often more challenging because in such a short time you are faced with the reality of making it happen. Lack of confidence starts to creep in and the fear of how to becomes a limiting factor. I encourage you to push through the fear and the results will be rewarding. For some people, the simple process of daydreaming is what works best. It's funny that as children we are told, stop daydreaming, focus on what you're doing. Yet now here I am telling you to start daydreaming. It's actually been scientifically proven that by daydreaming you intend how you want things to turn out. You see, there is a mechanism at the base of your skull called your reticular activating system, the RAS system. And what this system does is it tells your conscious and subconscious mind what is important to you and what you need to focus on for your own advantageous survival. Your RAS system is like a radio receiver. You simply tune in what radio frequencies you want to listen to or observe. By doing this, you are tuning into situations, opportunities, conversations, and interactions with others that may be beneficial for what you have pre-intended as your desired outcome or what is important to you. Let me give you an example. A mother with a young baby can live next to a train track where trains go past every 20 minutes and she'll never hear the trains. But if that baby so much as whimpers, she will be immediately alert as her RAS system has been pre-programmed that the cry of the baby is important. What we need to do as adults is program our RAS system with what is important to us. From a real estate perspective, this is best illustrated by a conversation I had with Ian. We had a discussion about rooming and boarding houses a number of years ago, and I had said to Ian that I wanted him to really get on top of the rules and regulations for boarding and rooming houses in all the states, as I think it's a great opportunity for students to maximise income, and I needed him to know it. In the next couple of days, Ian was walking down the main street of Budrum, and he overheard a conversation a couple were having about a boarding house. He stopped, waited until the immediate conversation had finished, and then approached the gentleman that had spoken about his boarding house experience. This man owned several boarding houses and was a wealth of information for Ian. You see, prior to Ian's RAS system being pre-programmed to be attracted to anything to do with rooming and boarding houses, Ian probably would not have overheard the conversation and walked straight by. But once his RAS system was programmed that information was important to him, he started to notice conversations, deals, opportunities, and people that were aligned with that information. This is one of the reasons why education and awareness are so powerful. The more you know, the more you understand, and the more you focus on anything, the more opportunities you see to excel in that area. Another form of activation of your RAS system is via meditation. This is a method that I absolutely love. Not only is it a powerful method of programming and intending, it is also relaxing and incredibly healing from a health perspective. I use meditation, and in particular self-recorded meditation or guided meditation, for most of my goals and desired outcomes, whether they be financial, health, or relationship oriented. As a very visual person, I find meditation extremely powerful because meditation works on your imagination and your third eye, as well as your auditory senses, and to some extent touch and smell as well. It acts as a complete sensory experience to foresee or foretell how you want your future to pan out. It's a simple form of pre-intending. I understand that meditation is not for everyone. However, for those of you who are interested in exploring this avenue of focus, I have a number of meditations available via the Ultimate website in the webinar section. For those of you who are Quantum members, I have given to everyone that comes to the I Love Real Estate Millionaire a complete audio CD of a number of meditations which I have recorded for students and myself, of course. One very simple technique which I speak about at the one-day event is simply spending 15 minutes every day thinking about you. If you spend 15 minutes every day just thinking about you, who you are, what you want to achieve, whether you're on track, whether you're making ground on your goals, what your goals are, whether you are happy, what makes you happy. These are all really good questions, which just make you think about who you are and what you really want out of life. This is not something that you do once in a blue moon. This is something that you commit to be part of your life for the rest of your life, just 15 minutes a day. It doesn't take that long, but I can guarantee you, if you do spend the 15 minutes every day thinking about you, your entire life will change forever. I recently received an amazing letter from a student who came to one of my one-day events. He was going through a bit of a tough time and had a few obstacles to overcome. He took on board what I had said about 15 minutes every day and very diligently has been spending 15 minutes every day since the one-day event. He wrote me a beautiful letter to tell me some of the amazing things that happened in his life since starting the 15 minutes and what a difference it had made to him, his family and relationships. I know if you spend 15 minutes a day focusing on you, you will have similar results. For some people, making a list is the best way to go. This is kind of a variation on the free writing process. For those people who are very logically minded, like the engineers and the accountants and the economists of the world, writing a list is an easier process. Once the list is complete, prioritize it into not so important, important, and absolutely essential. At least by doing this, you will have a short list of things you want to achieve. I spoke to a lady recently who had trouble identifying what she wanted in life. Upon questioning her, she indicated it was because she didn't have children or a partner, and there was just her to satisfy, so she was content to just drift. However, when I dug a little deeper, she realised that there was a certain standard of living, way of life, etc., that she wanted to attain. And when I informed her that this was fabulous because at least now she had a starting point, she was at first confused. When I explained that once you have a conceptual idea of how you want to live, then it is easy to convert that into a dollar figure, an income figure that needs to be created in order to live that particular lifestyle. Now we have a starting point for her to establish her goals and ultimately her plan of attack. I find many people who have trouble setting goals have repressed their true feelings and desires for so long that it has become a habit. Men particularly can fall into this category. They get brought up with the concept that they have to provide income for the family and do what it takes to be the breadwinner, etc. This often results in a breakdown or a midlife crisis later in life when they get to the point that they realise that their whole life has been designed around social expectations or the needs of other people. It can also be the case for women who give up their goals and dreams and aspirations to be a homemaker and primary caregiver. This, of course, falls in a heap when the kids leave home or become independent and no longer need that crutch or support. Again, problems arise around self-worth and the woman's place in the world. Questions arise like, what am I here for? It is very important to be in touch with who we really are and what we really want out of life, because no one else can do this for you, only you. However, once you have a concept of what this is, then the process to achieve it is the easy part. The process. The process of creating a 2-year plan can be done in a number of ways. How you create your 2-year plan will really depend on your personality and how you think. Some are happy to grab a roll of paper and drawing pencils and fill the pages with pictures and houses and events happening over a 2-year period. Some would prefer to prepare their 2-year plan on an Excel spreadsheet, and others will use all sorts of tools for programming to create charts and bar graphs. The bottom line is, there is no right or wrong way, provided it works for you. I believe it is important to have some form of system to the 2-year plan, and it needs to be stepped out on a deal-by-deal basis, month-by-month, over a 2-year time frame. The reason I like a 2-year plan is because it is long enough to achieve the completion of most strategies, yet short enough to have clarity around the exact actions to be taken throughout the 2-year time frame. So how do you start? The first thing is to make a list of all the properties that you have right now. Beside each property, think about what action needs to be taken on that particular property and write this down. For example, do you need to sell one of the properties? Is there more manufactured growth or income to be done on your existing properties, such as renovation, subdivision, granny flat, etc.? Then, beside the action required, think about how long it is likely to take to undertake that course of action and write this down. Let's take a hypothetical example to work through how I would do a 2-year plan for our hypothetical couple, Jack and Jill. Yes, I'm very imaginative. There is a table in the module under assets, action, time, and cost. Now we need to know what our starting point is for our hypothetical couple. Notice I have sold off unnecessary personal assets like the extra car and caravan, which Jack and Jill could put to better use in their real estate business. Their current financial position is outlined in the table. What needs to happen now? We need to step out on a month-by-month basis how all these actions are going to play out over the months and how much money we have in our available equity bucket at any time and what our passive income is through the months. I'm going to do this in an Excel spreadsheet, but if you prefer, you can do it on a roll of butcher's paper and handwrite it. Either is fine. Where I am using month 1, month 2, etc., you would use the exact month, for example, March, April, etc. I know the spreadsheet might look a little confusing to start, but all I am doing is tracking each property and what is happening to each property, what the costs are, and what the cash flow implications are. Let's first look at the year 1 schedule of the plan. As you will see, we are going to maximise the existing properties first and step out each of the actions on those properties before anything else. Have a look at the Excel spreadsheet in your module. Just so you know what I have done behind the scenes here, I have included the same spreadsheet, except in this one, I have shown you all the formulas I have put into each of the cells. So what does all this mean? As you can see, I have taken each property and systematically worked through the actions required on each property. When an expense is required, I am using the line of credit, LOC, on the PPR, as a bank to pay for the expense. When I get money in from the sale of an investment property 1 and the sale of existing house for property 2, the money after expenses comes off the original mortgage on the PPR. Then the split facility would be adjusted, which then gives me the equivalent amount in my available LOC. I have also split the LOC into available and used so you can see how much money you have in your kitty at any given time. This is important, as you need to know whether you have funds available for expenses and further investment. I have also included a cash flow line at the bottom to keep track of where I am at from a passive income perspective. At this stage, it is pretty boring as I start out negative, then go to zero when I sell the negatively geared property 1 and don't get positive until I rent the dual occupancy house I built on the new subdivided property 2. The only thing that may seem confusing is when I build the dual occupancy property. I am paying for it out of a construction loan, which would be secured against the newly subdivided land after the existing house on that block is sold. If I had been short of funds at this point, I could have revalued after the subdivision was done. However, I didn't need to, in order to borrow for construction of the new property, so it was easier to use the land as security for the construction loan. The drawdowns I have used for the construction loan are the standard drawdowns most banks use: 10% on slab, 15% on framing, 35% on lockup, 25% on fit-out, and 15% on final. It's also interesting to note that the PPR loan started the year at $250,000, and after just 1 year, we have brought it down to just $35,000. Obviously, I have not included normal interest payments against any of the loan. When doing a two-year plan, this is something you would normally do as a year-end adjustment. The two-year plan is a plan of action that tracks your intention for each existing and new property. It is a guide and will not necessarily be an exact science. Now that we have dealt with the maximisation of the existing properties, what strategy should we do next, and when should we start adding our next property? What strategy we choose will come down to our goals and our desired outcomes. Let's assume Jack and Jill want to build up a portfolio over the next 5 years or so with enough passive income so that Jack and Jill will be able to start to cut back on their paid employment. Jack and Jill want to focus their investment strategies dominantly in metro areas and want relatively easy care properties for the long term. For this reason, I would try to keep Jack and Jill's strategies relatively simple. I would not be looking to throw them into large unit development construction or commercial property at this stage. Both of these strategies could come down the track when they are a little more experienced and have more money behind them. So how about we throw in a duplex build with a view to selling one and keeping one? This way, they can take the profits from the sale of one of the duplexes and pay down the mortgage on the remaining duplex, which they can keep as a long-term rental. If Jack and Jill were not as risk-averse when it comes to ongoing management, I may have considered building duplexes, which could be rented as rooming houses or micro-apartments, as this would have given them a much higher passive income result, but it would have required more ongoing management. For now, the question comes, when should we add the duplex build? Rather than push things to the absolute limit, I believe the appropriate time would be as soon as the finance has been approved for the dual occupancy build on property number two. By adding a new property at this point, we know we have the financing set to complete the actions on our existing properties, and any new borrowing would not affect what we already have in place. In our example, this would mean we would start looking for a new property in months 5 and 6. However, we would not contract on that property until month 7. So let's add some time parameters around this new strategy. Asset is the investment property 3. Action, buy an old property on a block size and zoning of suitable for a duplex build, 2 months. Knock down the old house, 1 month. Construct the duplex, 7 months. Sell one side of the duplex, 2 months. Rent the other side for $10,000, assets passive, 1 month. So now let's put our costings to this strategy. Action, buy an old property on a block size and zoning suitable for a duplex build, $450,000. Purchase costs, $15,000. Knock down the old house, $15,000. Construct the duplex, $400,000. Sell one side after GST implications, $550,000. Cost of selling, $15,000. Upon purchasing the new property, Jack and Jill will need a 20% deposit, 10% upon signing the contract, and 10% on settlement. They will also need a further $15,000 for settlement costs. When construction starts, they will need 20% of the construction costs. The other 80% will come from a construction loan. It is normal to need 20% to be paid towards construction before the construction loan payments begin. So let's add their property to our two-year plan. And here is the same page with the formulas showing. The next stage of creating our two-year plan is to add the next 12 months. As you can see in the next spreadsheet, I have dropped the assets that were sold in the previous 12 months and picked up the starting balances as the closing balances of the year before. When half of the duplex is sold for $550,000, the funds will be used to pay off the remaining balance on the PPR. Yeah, now the PPR is non-tax deductible, debt-free. and the balance will reduce the debt on the duplex side that Jack and Jill are holding. You'll also notice that when the duplex build is completed and one side is sold off, a new LOC can then be set up. Given that the other side sold for $550,000, it is reasonable to assume the holding side will also value at $550,000. Therefore, the LOC will be $550,000 at 80% less the remaining loan on the duplex of $245,000. When this refinance is complete, it is time to set up the next deal, and for the purposes of ease and size, let's do another splitter subdivision or another smaller construction deal. However, at this point, Jack and Jill could probably do two deals at the same time, as their LOC balances are now healthy enough to handle it. The following is the same spreadsheet, just with the formulas showing, so you can understand what I'm doing behind the scenes. Now, for some of you, the whole spreadsheet thing is just not your thing, and no matter how I present it, it's never going to make a whole lot of sense. So I have done the two-year plan as a pictorial storyboard, which does the same thing as my spreadsheet, just in a pictorial fashion. I'm very visual, and I quite like this method as well. Neither one is better than the other. It's just what works for you. Now comes the good part. You now have to give your own two-year plan a crack. I understand if you have trouble, but please persist and give it a really good go, then work with your coach on refining it. Just start with any existing properties. You have to think through what actions need to be taken with each of the properties, how long each of the actions will take, how much each of the actions will cost, and when can you afford to undertake these actions. Then move on to any new purchases and deals that have been discussed with your coach and do the same thing with each of the new deals. You have to think through what actions need to be taken with each of the properties, how long each of the actions will take, how much each of the actions will cost, and when you can afford to undertake these actions. If you try to think about everything all at once, it can be really daunting. Just take each action on each property and run it through to its completion before moving on to the next action or property. If you find at any stage that you run out of money in your bucket, LOC, then you need to backtrack and adjust either your strategy or the timing of your strategy. This actually happened to me when I was working through the Jack and Jill example, and I had to delay the purchase of the duplex build until I had revalued the dual occupancy property. Much better to have this happen on a spreadsheet than in real life. In a spreadsheet, you can just cut and paste to another column. In real life, it could have serious financial implications. And that's why the two-year plan is so important.